Good morning and a good chaydash, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Samach Zayin. We are holding at the very top of Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Emily and Lishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, as well as for Refuah Shleima, for Chava Sara Bas Shoshana Dino, who's having surgery today. She should have Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. It is also sponsored by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishmas, Chana Lea Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramosha Yehuda Ben Ram Nachum, Chaya Lea Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So there are basically two topics on today's daf. The first topic is going to be whether there's a relationship between the din of Gilgul Ovid Kulchavim and Miruach Ovid Kulchavim. We started to discuss yesterday if a non-Jew is the one that does the Miruach Hakri, he's the one that takes the pile of grain and smooths it out, which is the moment it becomes Chayiv and Trumas HaMaisros. So since it was a non-Jew doing it, does it become Chayiv and Trumas HaMaisros or not? So the Gemara is going to discuss, does that relate to the discussion whether Gilgul Ovid Kulchavim, if a guy is the one that needs the dough, does it become Chayiv and Chala? So are those two discussions bound up with each other, or maybe there's reason to distinguish between those two dinim? That is basically Amud Aleph. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss other dinim of the Minchas HaOmer, and it's going to tell us that by the time they brought the Korban Omer, you'd leave the Beis HaMikdash and you'd go out into the streets of Yerushalayim, and it was full of Tevua Chadasha. There was grain everywhere. And the question is, was that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Meaning, great, now you have the Tevua Chadasha, which is mutter after the Korban Omer was brought, and it's so readily accessible, and that's wonderful, or terrible. That means that people are doing so much preparatory work in order to make sure that the Tevua Chadasha would be ready right at that moment. It's like, you know, the pizza store that's open just a little too soon after Pesach, where you wonder, how did they get it together so quickly? So we're concerned that maybe if they got all this Tevua Chadasha that was ready right away, that maybe there's a chashash that they were doing so much work with it that people were already eating from it beforehand. So let's begin. Top of Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Gilgul Hegdish. If the kneading of the dough happened while the dough belonged to Hegdish, poter, then it is poter from Chiva for Farshas Chala, even if later that dough became a chulin dough because someone was poter it from Hegdish and comes to and becomes chulin, since at the time that of the kneading of the dough, that's when the Chiyuv sets in, and at that time it belonged to Hegdish, so no Chiyuv set in. Therefore, even though it later becomes chulin, we don't retroactively impose a Chiyuv on it. Ditnan, because the Mishnah Maseches Chala tells us as follows, Hikdish, if a woman was makdish her dough, Anshelo Gilgala, before she ever needed the dough, Upita Ata, and then as she was poda it, and only afterwards she needed the dough, Chayeva. So she was makdish it and poda it all before the Chiyuv set in. So by the time the Chiyuv sets in, it's back to being chulin. So then it's going to be Chayev and Chala. But Misha Gilgala, Upita Ata Chayeva. Similarly, if she needed the dough and she was then makdish it and then poda it back, it's also chayv and chala, because at the shas ha-gilgul it was not yet hekdish, it still belonged to her, it was chulin, and therefore it's chayv and chala. But hikdisha ad shelo gilgula v'gilgula ha-gizbar v'achar kach pedo'ata petura shebishas chavasa isa petura, that if she was makdish the dough before the gilgula isa, then it was biyad ha-gizbar, it belonged to hekdish at the time of the gilgula isa, so that's when the shas chiyuv chala normally comes in. But at that point, it belonged to Hegdish, and then she was poda it afterwards, so then it's going to be potter from Chala. So you see that it all depends on whose possession it was in at the Shas Gilgul. So once we know the dinim of Miruach Hegdish and Miruach Ovid Kulchavim and Gilgul Hegdish, so there's only one thing left. Boy Rava, Gilgul Ovid Kulchavim, Mai. We never discussed what the halacha is when an Ovid Kulchavim is Megalgal the Isa. What's the the din? Do we assume that it's pater min achala even if later on a Jew becomes the owner of that dough? Or do we say that it's not pater? Gilgul of Yichavim does not take away the chiyuv of challah, and therefore it's not going to impact the guy. It's not one of the Shevim Mitzvot Bnei Noach. The guy doesn't have to be mafresh challah, but if that dough gets into the possession of a Jew in the future, even though at the Shas Gilgul belonged to an Ovi Chavim, that Jew is going to have to be mafresh challah from that dough. So that's the Shaila. So says Gemara, Misna Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Challah as follows. Gershon is Skyer Vaisalo Isa, if a Ger converts and he had a dough, Nasi Sachlo Niskayer, if that dough was Niskalgel before he had become a Ger, meaning it belonged to an Ovid Chavim because it was him, he was the Ovid Chavim, Potter. So he's Potter from being Marfresh Chalab, since at the time of the Chiyuv, which is the Shasa Gilgul, it was in the possession of a non Jew, so it was Niskalgel the Ovid Chavim, and therefore it's Potter Min Achala. But Misha Niskal. But if the dough was needed after he already finished his gerus, then chayiv, then you have to be marfresh chalafin, because at the time of the Gilgul Isa, he was already a Jewish person, and therefore became chayiv and chala. Safek chayiv. If we're not sure whether the Gilgul Isa happened prior to the gerus or after the gerus, so he's chayiv and afresh chala, since this is safek daraisa and safek daraisa luchumra, so we have to be choshesh that it was niskalgel after the gerus was completed, it was biyad Yisrael, it belonged to a Jewish person, and therefore it's going to be chayiv and chala. So ha man katanila divrei akoliv afilu rameiv rabbiudu dekum chayiv yasum patri hacha. Do we? The Gemara says there are two stadim of the suffix. We have a suffix over here. Who is the one that told us that Gilgul Ovid Kochavim is going to be pater from chala? Do we assume that all Tanaim agree to that? Meaning that this Mishnah that we just quoted from the third parak of Maseches Chala that tells us that if the dough belonged to a non-Jew, then it's pater from chala, and the only time it would be chayiv is if it belonged to the guy after he was already Megayer, or at least suffik after he was already Megayer. Is that something that all the Tanaim agree to? Vafilu Reb Meir Reb Yehuda to come and even Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda who say that that miruach ovid chavim is chayiv in chala is chayiv in trumas ma'isros patri hacha are going to patri gilgul ovid chavim from hafrashas chala, meaning that the two dinim are not the same as one another. That when an ovid chavim is one that does the miruach, so the Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that the grain is still going to be chayiv in trumas ma'isros if it ever lands in the hands of a Jew, it's going to be chayiv in trumas ma'isros. Whereas the Gilgul Ovid Chavim, maybe they even agree that it's going to be pater. Why? Why would there be a difference? Because hasam, when it comes to trumas ma'isros, hu dechsiv degancha degancha yaseira. It says several times the word degancha, because the pasuk says lo sucha lechol b'sharecha ma'iser degancha, and it says v'chatol v'nei Hashem l'kachem makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham ma'iser degancha tirosh chavitzarecha. And it says Reishis Degancha Tirosh Chavitzarecha Reishis Geitzon Chatiten Lo. So three different times the Torah tells me that the din of Trumas Maestros is only on Degancha. It's only on your grain. So that's coming to tell me a drasha. The first Degancha tells me Digunecha and not Digun Hegdish, meaning that the Miruach of Hegdish is going to be Pater. That if the Miruach Akri, if the smoothing out of the piles, which is normally the Shas Chiyuv of Trumas Maestros, happened while it was in the hands of Hegdish, then it's going to be potter from Trumas Maestros. The other two deganchas are extra, and therefore it comes to tell me digunecha v'lo digun ovid chavim, that if it belongs to an ovid chavim at the shas digun, it's going to be potter. Oh, but I need two times to tell me digancha that digun ovid chavim is potter? Yeah, one time you need to tell me about digun hegdish is potter, but why do I need two times to tell me digun ovid chavim is going to be potter? Havi miyut achar miyut vein miyut achar miyut al rabos. So that if you have a double miyut, then it's a riboy. That if it's two times to tell me that you're not that you're not going to be chayiv, what it's really telling me is that you are going to be chayiv. That if I belong to an ovid chavim at the shas miruach at the shas digun, it taka is chayiv in shum. shumas maisos afilu of the chavim. It's coming to be marbe that even of the chavim. So Rashi says, well, wait a second. Why don't we learn from the Dagon Harishon, Dagon Hegdish, and from the other two, we should be marbe. Meaning, why is it that we learn from the first one lemai digon hegdish, and from the other two we learn emi rachamir el rabos to be marbe digon of chavim? We could have just as easily said the opposite, that the first digoncha teaches us to be memai digon of chavim, that if the miruach happens by novin chavim, it's potter, and from the other two maybe we should be marbe digon hegdish. We should say that that both of the other two are telling me digon chavlo digon hegdish emi rachamir el rabos digon hegdish. So Rashi writes that we'd rather be mima'et dagon hegdish and to be marba dagon ovid chavim, because dagon ovid chavim is more likely to be chayiv, since it could be eaten without any pidyon, like dagon Yisrael can be eaten without any pidyon, as opposed to dagon hegdish. When it comes to grain of hegdish, you're not allowed to eat it unless you're poda it. So since there's another maisa that must be done with it before one is allowed to eat it, it is more distant from the din of a regular dagon ovid Yisrael. So if we're going to, it's mistaver to be mima'et both of them if we have exactly two miyutim. But if you have one miyut and one riboy, which is essentially what we have, when you have three miyutim, you have one miyut and one riboy, because one miyut and then two miyutim equals a riboy, so you have to figure out which is more mistaver to be marbe. So it's more mistaver to be marbe, digurovi chavim. So says Rashi, asks the Rashba, the Chidushim HaMiyuchasim the Rashba, why is it that we have shnei miyutim to say ein miyut achamira l'rabos when it comes to miruach ovid chavim, and that's the methodology the Torah uses. The Torah chose to be marba digon ovid chavim. You know what else it could have done to teach me that digon ovid chavim is chayiv in maestros? Just not say anything. Just not have any miyutim. And if you only have one miyut to exclude digon hagadish, so I would know on my own. That's it. I've only excluded digon hagadish, and memela digon ovid chavim is included in the din. Why would I need a double miyut to exclude? Why would I need a double miyut to include digun ovid chavim? So the Rashba writes that even though there's more of a svara to be mema'it miruach hegdish than there is to be mema'it miruach ovid chavim, like Rashi explained, but if it only would have said digoncha once, one might have been mema'it both of them. One might have said, yeah, they're close enough, that digun ovid chavim and digun hegdish are close enough to one another that will just be mema'it both of them from the same from the same word. So, but once I have a miyut and a riboy, now I see that there must be different dinim between digun hegdish and digun ovid chavim. So I have to choose which one to be memait, which one to be marba. So then we go back to that Rashi, that we're going to be memait to digun hegdish because it is dissimilar to digun Yisrael. We're going to be marba digun ovid chavim because it is similar to digun Yisrael. So that's why we have a special din, that when it comes to digun ovid chavim, Ramei and Rabbi Yudah are going to be mechayiv in trumas and maisos. Aval hacha, but when it comes to kneading a dough, and the chiv of afrashas chala, if a guy does the gilgul ha'isa, so everyone is going to agree that it's going to be potter. Why is everyone going to agree that it's going to be potter? Because trei zimni ariso seichem ksiv. The Torah says reishis ariso seichem chala tarimu truma ketrumas garen ketarimu asa, and the following pasuk says me reishis ariso seichem titnu lashem truma ledoros seichem. So chad ariso seichem kidei ischasem. One Ariso Seichem comes to tell me that the shear of a dough that's chayiv and chala is the shear of a dough that was made in the midbar, which is an omer lagulgoles, meaning the Torah tells us exactly how big the man was. So the shear of a dough that's chayiv and chala is the shear that we had in the midbar. The chad Ariso Seichem and the other Ariso Seichem is coming to be memait that only your dough is chayiv and chala. V'lo isas of the chav, v'lo isas hegdish, but dough that belongs to Novik Chavim, or dough that belongs to Hagdish, is going to be patam chala, and that maybe all the Tanayim agree to. So tzad number one of the suffik is maybe even those Tanayim that hold that miruach ovid chavim is chayiv in trumas maisros are going to agree that gilgul ovid chavim is going to be pater from chala. That as long as the dough is in the possession of a guy at the time of the gilgul o'isa, it's going to be pater from chala. The other tzad is odilma. Maybe no. Maybe Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon katanila. Maybe the Mishnah in the third paragraph of Masechus Chala that we quoted, that tells us that Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is Pata from Chala, is Dafka according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, the Kapatri, where they say that Miruach Ovid Chochavim is Pata from Maisos, and therefore Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is likewise Pata from Chala. But maybe, Avarame Rabbi Yuda, Gamri Reshus Reshus Mehasam, maybe Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yuda would say that just like Miruach Ovid Chochavim is Chayiv in Shumas from Maisos, Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is going to be Chayiv in Chala, because we should learn from Maisos where it says Reshus Dugancha, and by Chala it says Reshus Ariso Seichem. So whatever the din is by one, the din is going to be by the other. So just like Miruach Ovid Chochavim is Chayiv in Maisos, because it's a Miyut Achar Miyut L'Rabos, so too by Chala, Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is Chayiv in Chala, that even if it's in the possession of a Goyet, the Shasa Gilgul, it should be Chayiv in Chala. So Amar Rava, Rava says, wow, what a Shaila that we have over here. Is Gilgul Ovid Chochavim, what's the din by Gilgul Ovid Chochavim according to Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yuda? Meaning, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon, we don't have any suffix. We know that they hold that Miruach Ovid Chochavim is Pater, Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is going to be Pater as well. But within Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yuda hold that Miruach Ovid Chochavim is Chayiv, do they hold the same thing when it comes to Gilgul Ovid Chochavim? So Rava, just like throwing his hands up in there, Yehi Rava da Achsi Bechilma, I should be Zocha that I should see in a dream, Min HaShemayim, what the halacha is, whether Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is Pater Min HaChala, or Gilgul Ovid Chochavim is not Pater Min HaChala. And if he did see it in a dream, would he then know what the halacha is? Is that a way to determine the halacha by seeing something in a dream? So this is something that the Achronim are all bothered by. How could Rava be Somei Halacha in a dream? The Gemara Maseches Gittin says Divrei Chalomos and Maseches Brachos. Other place Divrei Chalomos Ein Malin Vein Maridin. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin quotes a story on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that there was a guy whose father died and he knew that his father had left money, but he had no idea where the money was. And then he saw in a dream that exactly where the money was, that it was hidden in this and this location. And in that dream, they also told him, oh yeah, but by the way, it's not chulin, it's Maaser Sheni money. So you're right, your father left money, but you're very limited in terms of your usage of that money. You got to bring it to Yerushalayim and spend it only on food in Yerushalayim because it's Maaser Sheni money. So Gemara said he went to ask, and he went and he checked that location where it was in the dream, 10 paces to the left, 5 paces, whatever. And it was hidden exactly where the Bala Chalom told him was hidden. And he went to ask Ashayil and he was told, don't worry, it's not Maaser Sheni money. Why? Divrei Chalom is lo malin velo maridin. Dreams don't really mean anything. Dreams don't really mean anything. It told me exactly where it is. Yeah, you probably knew that. So that part was real. The rest of it is Divrei Chalom is lo malin velo maridin. So that's the kasha. How can Rav daven that it should be niskalitim in a dream? We're not mora halachos based on a dream. So the Shach in Choshev Mishpat Siman Shin Lamed Gimel writes that we don't rely on a dream. He says we shouldn't rely on the dream of the Maram that's quoted in the Tshuvas Maimonios because Divrei Chalomos are lo malin velo maridin, and there are several dreams that we have in Poskim about a variety of different things, the kashrus of certain types of fish and other things. So whether we rely on the dream or not, so the Shach says generally we do not rely on a dream. However, not everyone agrees that that's an absolute rule. The Mari Asad in Tshuvas Yehuda Yala, it makes a chiluk. He says we do not rely on a dream when it comes to something that's a metzius that's nogea to one person, but when it's nogea to being machriya the halacha, that's nogea to klal Yisrael, then we can rely on a dream, which is a huge chiddush to say because there's another principle that's relevant over here, and that is that lo b'shamayim hi, that we don't rely on that the Torah was given to us. That once the Torah was given to us, we have to be machriya the halacha in normal ways. So that's a major sugya about when we rely on a dream, when we not. Pashup Shad in the Gemara is this is an expression. Rava is saying, I need some moment of clarity in order to be able to determine the halacha over here, because right now this is so confusing. It could go either way in terms of how to understand the sheet of Ramei Rabbi Yuda about Gilgul Ovid Chavim. Then Hadra Rava. Then Rava said, Mandia Meruch Ovid Chavim Poter, Gilgul Ovid Chavim Poter. That's certainly the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon. That Miruach Ovid Chavim is going to patter from Chumas and Maestros. They'll certainly hold Gilgul Ovid Chavim is Pater from Shmos Maisel. So far, no Chiddush. That we didn't even have a suffix about. But Man Diomer Miruach Ovid Chavim Eino Poter. But the one that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, who hold that Miruach Ovid Chavim does not Pater from Maisel, Gilgal of Yichavim Eino Poter will likewise hold that Gilgal of Yichavim is not going to pater from Chala, that Rava ultimately decided that, like the second side of the Suffolk, that the two dinim are do hinge one on the other. They hinge on one another. That just like Miruach of Yichavim is going to be Chayiv in Trumas and Maestros, according to Rami Rabbi Yehuda, Gilgal of Yichavim is going to be Chayiv in Chala, according to Rami Rabbi Yehuda, again, presuming that ultimately the dough ends up in the hands of a Jew. A guy doesn't have to, a guy can knead dough all day and all night and eat that dough without being mafresh from smaisos. But if it ever ends up in the hands of a Jew, the Jew is going to have to be without being mafresh chala. But if it ends up in the hands of a Jew, the Jew is going to have to be mafresh chala. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim when it comes to miruach of yichavim. What does miruach of yichavim mean? Does that mean that the maisa miruach was done by an of yichavim? Or does it mean that the bailus of the grain was bailus of an of yichavim at the time that the miruach was done, but it's irrelevant who did the miruach. Meaning, oftentimes you have a Jewish-owned farm, but they have non-Jewish farm workers on the farm, or vice versa. So in all of these, or maybe you need both in order to be potter. Maybe you need it to be owned by a non-Jew and the work being done by a non-Jew in order to be potter. So you have a similar machlokas when it comes to Gilgal of Yichavim. Is it the ownership of the dough or whoever the one that's kneading the dough? I own a pizza shop, but I have a non-Jewish worker that's making the pizza, that's kneading the dough. So is that dough going to be chayiv and chala, or is it not going to be chayiv and chala, according to the shita that Gilgal of Yichavim is pater from chala? So this is a machlokas rishonim as well. So the Marit al-Ghazi says, and it's the same machlokas rishonim, meaning the two opinions, the two topics, just like when it comes to the Gilgal of Yichavim being pater, or being and being chayiv, it's the same machlokas tanoim as whether miruach of yichavim is pater or chayiv. How we define what's called gilgal of yichavim is the same machlokas as how we define what's called miruach of yichavim, which is very mistader. However, the Shita Mukbetzis writes that the maisa miruach paters the grain, even though the maisa gilgal does not pater the isa. It's the bailus of the dough that paters the isa. Meaning the two are not tali zebze in terms of what defines something as shel ovdei kochavim. When it comes to the miruach, it's about who's doing the miruach. When it comes to the dough, it's about who owns the dough. And he says there's a reason to be mechalek, because by dough the miut of ovdei kochavim is from ariso sechem. So ariso sechem means who owns it, right? Whose dough is it? It's not about lishaschem or however you would say it, that it's about your kneading. It's hariso sechem. Whose dough is it? Whereas when it comes to the miut from miruach, it's about digunecha, who does the digun, not the gancha, digunecha. It's about who's doing the digun. So then it's about who does who's actually doing the activity of the digun. This is a shaila that there's a tshuva in Rabban Tzion Abba Shaul in the tshuva Sar Letzion, where there was a potato a farmer in Ofakim that they realized that the mashkiach was not mafresh shumas and maestros properly. The way he was doing that mafresh shumas and maestros, even b'diavad, didn't work. So they have all these potatoes that it was all wrong. Everything, there was no hafras shumas and maestros. So he had to come up with some sort of hetter, because these potatoes were all over the country and they were delivered to everywhere, and to track them down is going to be really, really hard. So he came up with a svek sveka. He says maybe the peros came from such southern cities that they're outside of the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael that are chayiv and maestros, meaning maybe they got some of the stuff from Eilat and from, you know, so even though it may be under Israeli sovereignty, but it's not Eretz Yisrael itself. And even if it came from Makom Achiyuv, it could be that the Gemar Malacha was done by Poalim Nachrim. It was done by non-Jewish workers, that they're the farm workers, and because Rov Poalim are Poalim Nachrim, and therefore maybe that's enough to pater. Now, we happen to hold that Poalim Nachrim is Chayiv, but that's only on a Drabanan level, and maybe the Chachamim weren't Machmir in such a case. So he comes up, he tries to come up with a whole kula to see if that maybe there's something to work with over here, but part of what to work with is not about the ownership of it, but about who was actually doing the work in order to be mechayev or pater from Shumas and Maisos. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Eisei Rav Papa l'Rava. Rav Papa challenges Rava. We're going to have a couple of braises. So Eisei Rav Papa l'Rava. Ovin Chavim Shehifrish Petr Chamar. If an Ovin Chavim designates a sheep to do Pidyon Petr Chamar, that firstborn donkey can be redeemed with a sheep, V'chala, or an Ovin Chavim that's Mafrish Chala from his dough, Modim also Shehu Patr. We tell him, by the way, this is not one of the Shevet Mitzvahs, you know, you don't have to do this. A Behemoth Ovin Chavim is Patr Min HaBechora, Gilgul Ovin Chavim is Patr Min HaChala, and Jews are allowed to buy it from you, meaning it's not Chayiv, it's not a problem. And any challah that he's mafresh, it's not challah. Normally, when you're mafresh challah, it has a din like truma. So truma can only be eaten by kohanim. This guy's going to be mafresh challah. It's not challah. A zar is allowed to eat it. Upeter chamar goes vovin bo, and his peter chamar doesn't have any kedusha. You could shear it and you can do work with it like any behemas chulin. So you see from the brisa that dafka peter chamar and challah, but hatrum. Maso asura, but it sounds like the truma that he's mafresh is taka asur lazarim. Apparently, because miruach chavim does not pater from trumas of maestros. So I ask the gemara, va'haitana d'amar miruach chavim eino poter. Gilgul avichavim poter. Rava, you just came to the conclusion that the din of miruach avichavim and the din of gilgul avichavim hinge on one another. That if you hold that miruach avichavim is pater, then you hold gilgul avichavim is pater. If you hold miruach avichavim is chayiv, you hold gilgul avichavim is chayiv. And yet over here in this brisa it says beferush that the dough of the avichavim is nothing, that it's not challah at all. But apparently the miruach avichavim is something, that it is going to be chayiv and challah. So you see that whoever this Tana is, it's he breaks these two halachas from one another. He splits these two halachas from one another. Va'odes fei Ravina l'Rava, and Ravina challenged Rava further from another brisa. Chalas ovid chavim ba'aretz. If you have chala of an ovid chavim, if it's from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, uchumasa b'chutz laretz, or truma that you were mafresh from grain that grew in chutz laretz, modino so shu pater. We let him know. Listen, you're pater from chala and from truma. And therefore, chaloso ne'echalas lazarim. The chala does not have any kedusha, and it could be eaten by zarim. Uchumaso enem etama'as, and the truma doesn't have any kedusha at all. And therefore, if it gets mixed in with other produce, it's not going to be metama'as. It's not going to aser the taroves. Oh, so it sounds like grain from chutz la'aretz that an ovicham did the miruach is not going to be chayv in truma, because even if Yisrael would have done the miruach, it would not really be chayiv, meaning it would be chayiv midrabanan, not midaraisa. The Rambam writes at the very beginning of Hilchos Trumos that Trumos va'maisos in a noagin min haTorah el beretz Yisrael. That Trumos va'maisos min haTorah is only noagin eretz Yisrael. Bein b'fnei abayis, bein shalom b'fnei abayis. Unevi'im hiskinu shiunogos hafilus beretz Shinar mepnei shi'smucha l'eretz Yisrael v'rov Yisrael holchin v'shavin sham. That in eretz Shinar, which is right near eretz Yisrael, it was a din midrabanan. The Nevi'im were Mesakein, that we should be knowing Trumas HaMaisos there as well. V'chama Rishonim is Kinnushi Nogos Haf Peretz Mitzrayim Peretz HaMunumav Neshim Svivos L'Eretz Yisrael. And it expanded a little bit further in a later generation, that initially the Takana was Alidei Nevi'im, that it should go to Eretz Shinar, and then a little bit later in history to Eretz Mitzrayim and HaMunumav. So a few places nearby Eretz Yisrael where we have a Din Midrabanan of Frashas Trumas HaMaisos. So since even if it were a Jew's grain, it would only be Chayiv Midrabanan, so a grain that belongs to a non-Jew is not even Chayiv Midrabanan. But it sounds like Hachumas of Haaretz, but Chuma that belongs to a from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, which is a chiv min haTorah, asura umidama'as, is going to be asur lezarim, and it's going to be medamea, it's going to asur the dough. Oh, wait a second. V'ahai tana damar miruach avichavim eino poter. So apparently this Tana holds that miruach avichavim does not pater from Maisa, and that's why the truma is going to be asur if the grain grew in Eretz Yisrael, but gilgul avichavim poter. But he paters gilgul avichavim from challah, and that's why the challah is not challah. So that's against Rava. Rava says the two dinim hinge on one another, and over here you see that that they clearly don't. So we have two different prices that if you're medayik and the prices carefully, you'll see against Rava, you'll see that the din of Miruach HaVichavim and din of Gilgal HaVichavim are not related to each other. So answers the Gemara that the Mechayiv of Miruach HaVichavim and the Mechayiv by Miruach HaVichavim and the Mechayiv of Gilgal HaVichavim and the Poter by Miruach HaVichavim does pot from Gilgal HaVichavim, like Rava says. Meaning Rava is really correct. And that which the Brisa say that Tvus HaVichavim is Chayiv in Truma, even though Gilgal HaVichavim is pot from Chala, that's only Midrabanan. Gzeira Mishum Bali Kisim. It's Midrabanan that it's Chayiv in Truma because of a Gzeira of rich people that have a lot of land and they don't want to give Maisros, that's all 10% of a lot of stuff, and therefore we have to be Choshesh that what are they going to do to get out of the Chayiv of Maisros? They're going to do a Mechira, just like we do at the Mechira by Shemitah. So every year when it comes to Trumas and Maisros, they'll sell all the land to Ovid Chavim, let the Ovid Chavim do the Miruach of all of their grain, and that way they'll do this Harama to become Pata from Maisr. In order to prevent people from being Mafkia, their fields from a Chiyuv of Maisr, the Chamor goes there that the Tavu of a Goy is Chayiv and Maisr as well. So in a Chinami, on a Doraisa level, Rava was 100% correct that the Dinim of Gilgal Ovid Chavim and Miruach Ovid Chavim are totally dependent on each other. Why is it then that we're going to be more Machmir about Miruach Ovid Chavim on a Drabana level? Because we're nervous that people are going to do whatever sort of Harama they can in order to get out of having to give to be chayiv in Shumas and Maisros. And apparently, you're not supposed to do haramas like this, to be mafkia yourself from Shumas and Maisros. So it says Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, that you're choshesh, that the bali kisim, that the wealthy people, the major landowners, the major field owners, are going to try to be mafkia their fields from Chayiv Maisr, afilu chalanami, shouldn't we make the same gzeira by the major bakeries, that we should be choshesh, that they're going to be mafkia their dough from Chayiv Chala by doing Gilgal Ovid Chavim? So Gemara says, if they want to be mafkia the Chayiv Chala, they don't need to be megalgal al-yidei of Chavim. Efshar da'afila pachas mi-chameshas revayim kemach va'od. They could just make each dough smaller than a shir chala, and they could avoid the Chayiv Chala that way. So it doesn't help for us to make a gzeira midrabanan that Gilgal Ovid Chavim is going to be Chayiv in Chala, because they'll find another way out. They'll just make very small doughs that are pachas mi-kashir, and then they're going to be part from Chala. So ask Mar Truma Nami, shouldn't we be Mafkia the Chiv without Miruach Ovid Chavim? There's another way out, meaning they could also be Mafkia the Chiv. Why would we make a Gezeira on the Miruach Ovid Chavim because of these Bali Kisim, because of these landowners? After all, they have another way out, they have another way to avoid it, because after David like Rabbi Yoshaya, they could do like what Rabbi Yoshaya said. Dam Rabbi Yoshaya, Marim Adam Al Tavuaso, a person could do a Ha'arama when it comes to the grain in order to avoid the Chiv of Meiser, umachnisa b'mot shala, k'desha tehebem to'achalas p'tur min ha'meiser. And they could just bring it into the house while it's still in its shell in order that the behema would eat from it and it would be pot from Meiser. Inami, or another way to do it, to make a pot from Meiser, da'ailo derek gagos v'derek karpifos. They could just not bring it in the front door. They could bring it in through the roof and through the karpif, and that the tevua is only chayiv and Meiser, but re'ias p'nei abayis. So since you could pater the tevua anyway through these other methods, so there should be no benefit. There should be no reason nothing accomplished by the chum being gozer that miruach of chavim doesn't pater, because even once you make the gzeira, there's a way around it anyway. And if you say yeah, but this is the way it's normally done, so then make the same gzeira by Gilgal Ovid Chavim, even though there's another way out, even though they could be making smaller doughs. So answer the Gemara, no. The reason why we made a gzeira about Miruach Ovid Chavim, but we never made a gzeira about Gilgal Ovid Chavim, is Hasam Befarhesia. When it comes to the grain, that which they would do to Pata from Meiser is a very public thing. Everyone's going to see that they're bringing it Bemot Shala, they're bringing it Derek Agus for Karfifos, and Zila Bemilsa. That's embarrassing. A person would rather do our Rama and sell it to an Ovid Chavim to Pata himself from Meisos, rather than to do a public thing where everyone realizes that he's doing a harama in order to make it part from Maestros, because he looked like a guy who's trying to avoid mitzvahs and you don't want to appear like such a... Whereas hacha, when it comes to chala, you could do it bitzina. You don't have to sell to Novi Chavim, just bake. No one knows exactly how much you're baking, so you bake small amounts at a time and it will never be known but to anybody else, and therefore, lo zila b'milsa, people will not know about it, and therefore you'll have nothing to be embarrassed embarrassed about. So if you want to patur your dough from challah, you could do that without, and therefore you could do that without any other concerns. So there's no point in making gzeira that Gilgal of Yuchavim is going to be chayiv in challah. Now it's fascinating that we happen to be discussing the din of ha'arama right now. This is the season of mechiras chametz, right? So this is one of the most famous ha'aramas that has been accepted by Klal Yisrael. So it's a major question. What are the gedarim of when a ha'arama is mutter and when a ha'arama is not mutter? Okay, but we don't have much time for that now. So, but it's a major discussion to be had. There's a shayla because the many poskim say you could do ha'arama to avoid a chiv d'rabbanan. You just shouldn't do ha'arama to avoid a chiv midaraisa. You're not supposed to do ha'arama on a daraisa. So there are many people that have a chumra that they won't sell chametz gamur because ownership of chametz gamur is in the daraisa. Taruvus chametz is only in the drabanan. So they'll the chametz nuksha is only in the drabanan. So they'll sell chametz nuksha, but they won't sell chametz gamur. So they won't sell the sourdough starter. They won't sell their Cheerios, but they'll sell chametz nuksha. So that's the svara because you're not supposed to do arama on the daraisa. So those who do sell it, I asked Rabbi Willig, why are you not makpid about this? Why do we sell chametz gamur? He said, because my mechira is not a harama. It's ironclad. It's an absolute mechira. Harama means that you're utilizing some kula. There's no kula over here that we're mamish selling it to an avichavim. So it's a question of what exactly the gedar of harama is. Yeah, but we're avoiding destroying all of the chametz, meaning is it about like the practical result of it, or is that there's some sort of mechanism that's some sort of substandard mechanism that one is using. Okay, different discussion for a different time. Next Mishnah. Bala li'isaron, once you've gotten the grain for the Korban Omer down to an isaron of flour, nosin alav shamno levonaso, they put the shemen and the levona on it in a kli, yatzak, they pour the shemen on the isaron that's put on the shemen in the kli, ubala, and they mix the isaron with the shemen, hainif, Kohen waves it, vihigish, and he brings it close. The different Korbanos require tenufa, which we discussed. But one of the avodos that Rov Menachos need that other korbanos do not need is hagasha. So the kmitzas hamincha is done by a kohen who takes the mincha and he's magish it. He brings it in a kli to the mizbeach. So hegish kamatz. He takes a melo kumtso from the mincha and he's malakit the levona from the mincha and vihikdir and he's makdir both of them. The kumtz of solas that he took out and the kumtz of levona together on the Mizbeach. Vashar, and whatever flour is left over that was not part of the kmitza, the shirayim of the korban mincha, that's nechal kohanim. That gets fed to the kohanim, to the male kohanim, liyom v'layla, like all other shiori menachos. The menachos you could do kmitza b'chol makom ba'azara, but they have to be eaten lefnim min akloim, lezichri kuna b'chol machol, liyom v'layla ad chatzos. Right? That's the din of the shirayim of a korban mincha. Okay, so now the Mishnah tells us about selling Tvua Chadasha right after the Korban Omer was brought. So it's machlokas whether the amount of Tvua Chadasha that was sold or the very fact that it was ready to be sold immediately after the Korban Mincha was brought, was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? Mishakarav HaOmer, as soon as they brought the Korban Omer, Yotzin Umotzin Shuk Yerushalayim Shu Mali Kemach, they would go out and they would find the markets of Yerushalayim full of grain, kali and toasted grain or ground grain after it was toasted in the oven from the Tvua Chadasha and was being sold in all the stores. Shelo b'ritzon chachamim divra meir. Rameir says that the chachamim were not happy about this because we're afraid that if they're doing so much work with this tvua chadasha, maybe along the way they would have been enticed to eat from it, and therefore they ate from it. Now, from the lashon of the Mishnah, it sounds like shelo b'ritzon chacham, but it kept on happening. So if it kept on happening, it must mean that it was shelo b'ritzon chachamim, but the chacham didn't actually aser it. So it's Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah. Says that they didn't answer it because the Sanhedrin didn't have the koach to force the Hamonam to be makbid about this, and this was an example of mutzav shu shogin v'lo yumazidim, that better to not say anything. From Rashi, it sounds like that they were gozer. Shalom b'ritzon cham means that cham actually had to say something about it. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'ritzon cham ayosin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no problem with this. They made grain available for the Jewish people at the time that it was mutter, so there's nothing wrong with it. Now, there was a machlok, so may Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to be kotzer from the Tevuah Chadasha at the time that it's also ba'achila, because you might come to eat from it. So, the lo gazer Rabbi Yehuda, dilma asi l'meichel minei, was Rabbi Yehuda not concerned about such a gzeira that you might come to eat from it when you're working with it? Or aminu, I'll ask you a stira from Mishnah Maseches Psachim, Rabbi Yehuda, omer botkin or arba asar, va'arba asar shachris, I mean, the Daf Yomi coincidences keep coming, that you do b'dikas chametz on the night of the 14th, and if you didn't do then, you do in the morning of Erev Pesach, u'b'shas abir, and if you didn't do then, you do at the shas abir during the 6 hour of the day. V'cham momrim, lo batek, and l'cham say, if you didn't do or arbas, or you do barbas or shachris, you didn't do barbas or shachris, you do it even b'toch hamoed, you would do the b'dik even b'toch hamoed. Now, why is Rabbi Yehuda gozer not to do b'dikas chametz once the isser sets in, because he's afraid you're going to come to eat it? Yet over here he says that it's a beritzon chachamim, no problem, do whatever you want with the tevuah chadasha, and I'm not worried that you're going to come to eat it. So Rabbi, shiny chadash is different, shloi tartalo ele al yidei kituf zacharu, that since you're only allowed to be kotzer from the tevuah chadasha in an unusual way, you'll remember not to eat it, but when it comes to chametz, you're not going to remember not to eat it, and that's why it's different. But tomorrow we'll pick up on the second line of the page on Samachas and Aleph. Good Lechodesh, everybody.